phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402, and it's the 30th of December and kind of a sunshiny morning. Looks okay to me. We've got guests in the studio, and we've got our posse here, headed up by our producer, Kelly Frost, Jr.
Good morning.
I understand you've had a sad day today.
No.
Oh, really? Schoolhouse Toys. Shut down.
Well, yeah, that did make me sad.
Well, you know what? There's another business going under, and this was really a great place.
It was one of the best toy stores I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, it's a...
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it had everything in there.
Learning center.
They said it's been going downhill ever since they opened. So, and of course, besides the producer, it's my soulmate, Linda Bott.
Good morning. Isn't it? It's how do you feel? Here we are with 5 days a week now, and it's the last day before the last day of the year.
Well, and the good thing about it is 5 days is we have 2 days we don't have to work and we get paid for it.
Now,
I like that.
Can I share just for a moment with our listeners that yesterday we did something that will change our life forever? Change our lives?
Well, it did. It did change our lives, right? Not forever.
Well.
Okay.
As we know it.
But what'd we do?
We got a puppy.
Yeah, we bought a puppy. We now have a miniature polar bear.
We adopted a puppy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, adoption fees are pretty good. We have a miniature polar bear at our house. And, you know, of course, the...
And her name is Snooky Bot.
Okay. We could go by without that one, but... I personally call her Elk Killer. That's her name, Elk Killer. Come here, Elk Killer. Of course, she weighs almost 6 ounces. So,
and we'll post her picture on the website.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, that yeah. Okay, and when you get a dog, you know what it does? It does change your life. And the first thing we did was try to crate train it starting last night. Well, the little devil didn't cry. And so then that worried us because it wasn't crying because puppies are supposed to cry, but it didn't cry. So we went in and checked it 63 times. So we still didn't sleep. It was in there sleeping until it
11:30.
11:30. Then it broke the code and said, "Oh, I see. If I cry, they'd roll in here." So anyway,
it's all good. It's fun.
If you like those, yes. But okay, it's not forever. It's just for the next 15 years of my life. This dog, and we'll put pictures up it on the website. So. We're beginning a new year with a new little life in our house. And, you know, it just...
And it's our one-year anniversary.
And it's a one-year anniversary, too.
January 1st.
And we're going to talk about... We've had a number of emails from our listeners asking how we met. And we'll talk about that for a couple minutes, you know, really long, late in the show. But, you know what? We've got to take a quick break here. So this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Let us sell a few things. And we've already got the phone lines lit up. And when we get back, we'll get to the people then.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Daniel, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Well, I get to be first up today, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Good morning,
you do.
Daniel.
Good morning.
People in and out here.
You're in the Free Fire Zone.
I guess I need to have a list of all your formal compatriots there in the Marine Corps and email in the name of your dog, Carl.
I did not. What, the dog, I call a dog Elk Killer.
We know. Almost called her Chesty.
Yeah, no, for Chesty Puller, but you know what? That would have been that would have been sacrilege. It's like calling her Jesus. So.
No, my real topic, though, is you remember the Brat Commission, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, since that was forced on us by a previous president, that maybe our legislature should do the same thing, because, you know, that commission is above political reproach, and they make the recommendation of cut or don't cut, and
yep.
The whole package goes to the Senate, and the Senate has to vote on the whole thing, yes or no, no adjustments.
Yeah, for the
probably the way our legislature should have to operate right now.
Yeah, the BRAC is the base reallocation and closure or something like that.
Right.
And they what they do is they go in and look at all the armed forces bases. And by the way, the military has a big say in this too. You know, they throw things in there too. And I say because we can go get by without a lot of these little small bases that cost millions of dollars to keep open. However, the states and the senators and congressmen don't want to get rid of them. So that's what the BRAC Commission was set up for.
Right.
So, Daniel, I think it's a great idea. But how you going to – okay, here's an old saying that when there's a lot of money involved, there's a chance for corruption.
You bet there is.
So, you know, it's like this – like they're going to go back and redraw all these – all the boundaries for the assembly members and senators and all this in California, get rid of the gerrymandering. There's so much power allocated to these, I think, was it 14 people, 12 to 14 people, that you know, there's always going to be a temptation there for corruption.
Oh, I agree. But, you know, I was thinking long and hard about this, and, you know, the heck of it is if the politicians don't have the hair to do the job, then they need to have somebody else do it for them, and then now all I have to do is just say yes or no.
Why don't we just have a king, a good king?
There you go.
King of California. Well, I got no way. How about a better one? State of Jefferson. I think it's coming. I think time is coming again that we need the state of Jefferson.
I'm in full agreement with that.
And I think that, you know, unfortunately that the people who vote against that so much be the Southern Californians who want our assets up here. So, anyway. Daniel, thanks for starting us off.
Okay, have a good day.
All right. Okay, the other thing that hit me today on the was I was looking at, you know, Proposition 8 failed. I mean, passed. And if you're a gay supporter, it failed. I mean, they voted no, yes. Anyway.
The wording was very confusing.
It was confusing.
Did it pass? Did it fail?
No.
Am I voting yes or no?
Yeah, but people voted yes on it. And so for marriage between a man and a woman. Well, one of the reasons that it passed was people were afraid of is if they had, you know, if there could be marriage rights, that this was just opening up a, you know, a Pandora's box of people bringing lawsuits against schools and churches. Well, in New Jersey, and I'm not saying it will, but I'm just saying that's one of the reasons. So, but in New Jersey, Mount Laurel, New Jersey, a church group that owns a beachfront property there discriminated against a lesbian couple by not allowing them to rent the locale. A New Jersey department ruled Monday in a case that's become a flashpoint out there. The New Jersey Division on Civil Rights said its investigation found that the refusal of the Ocean Grove's Camp Meeting Association to rent the oceanfront spot to the same-sex couple violated the public accommodation provisions of the state's law against discrimination. Now, it still has to go to a court, but the problem with this is it's not just about equality. The Christian organization says we have a constitutional right to use our facilities in a way that is consistent with our beliefs. So does that mean that if it's a church, you know, Mormon,
Catholic,
Presbyterian, whatever, Episcopal, and somebody wants to use your facilities, because it's not just a church, because a lot of times churches will own retreats. And you can go and get married in other faith churches. Does this mean then if somebody comes in and says, look, we want to get married in this church, and it's a same-sex couple, if the church says no to them, will they be sued? Well, obviously in New Jersey they have been. And I don't know who the Camp Grove Association is. I don't know what kind of church it is. I don't know if it's an offshoot of another church, because I just saw this early this morning. But
this is that whole Sue Happy thing.
Well, it's they are saying that they were discriminated against because, hey, you let other people marry there.
Well,
the church
says, same thing.
Yeah, yes. However, our church does not believe in same-sex marriages, and now you're forcing us to let them be performed on our property. Now, this is one of the things people said would never happen in this. Oh, no, nobody's going to force a church into letting go against their tenants. Well, it appears that in San Diego or in New Jersey it did. Now, again, this is my first look at this. It's a cursory look. I saw it as we were getting ready to leave this morning. So
can I just throw something in there? Like, yes, last year when I was driving around the Reading area looking for a church for us to get married in, I went to different congregations, and there were congregations that told me, or the pastor of the congregation or the people in the head office, if you don't belong to this church, then you can't get married here.
Yeah.
If you are not of this faith, body of faith, you cannot get married here. Do you see me going off and hiring an attorney and saying, well, I'm discriminated against?
Well, yeah, but what if you were a member of that church? What if you were a member of that congregation and you were gay and you wanted to get married in that church and they said, no, we don't believe in that?
It's kind of like ask but don't tell or whatever.
You know what? This is big. But this is big. And this is just the first one I've heard about this. We're going to have to take a quick break here. This is Carl and the Bot on Free Fire Radio. We have our guests in the studios. We got people on the phone lines. Join us on the other side.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. This is Free Fire Radio News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's 38 degrees outside, and the time is 8:24. Hey, let's go to the phones.
Now we have sound effects.
Yes, of course.
Hey, Tom, you're up.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, you know, Tom, I'm doing great. You know, I've got a piece of fluff in my life now.
There you go. Keep you warm in the wintertime.
No. This would keep like your face warm. That's about how big it is.
Oh, yeah. I guess things are melting up there north. You know, polar bears are drowning because of the earth getting hotter. Did you hear Rush Limbaugh's parody on The Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash?
Oh, my God.
He comes up with some pretty good ones.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I did see was that Spokane, Washington has had the highest amount of snow ever.
Isn't that interesting? It snowed last January in Baghdad.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Anyway, I didn't want to get on that subject. The last thing you were talking about before the break, boy, how do you sum all this up in just a few words on a talk show? Because it's a subject that really is... got a lot more ramifications than just the issue of what was Proposition 8 supposedly settled, but I don't think we've heard the last of it.
I don't think it has either, because it's already back in the courts again. Now you got the Attorney General of the state of California who said he would support, you know, that law because, or that tenet, because his Attorney General has now changed his mind and said he's going to oppose Proposition 8. And the only thing, reason I brought this up was I thought it was interesting. Where in New Jersey, when a church has said, I'm sorry, we can't let people do this, it goes against what we believe in, how they got sued and were found to be wrong.
Okay, let me tell you, and I'll try to just limit the focus of my comments just on that alone. That happened in another state at a Methodist church. I can't remember just which one it was now. This was last year sometime, where they had their social hall could be rented for weddings,
right.
And a gay couple were wanting to, in that state, I don't think they allowed weddings, but they allowed, marriage, but civil union, and they refused to rent to them, and they sued. Not, the results came down last year from the court. They sued, and as a result, the Methodist Church lost its tax-exempt status for that building. So they can't force you to do anything, but they can sure threaten your tax-exempt status. And I think that's where the bottom line a lot of this is, you know, they use taxes to get people to conform to whatever the public policy is. And it's happened with Bob Jones University in the case of them not wanting interracial marriage or dating. They are not. They can exist as a university there in North Carolina, but they no longer have a tax-exempt status. And, of course, the gay rights advocates are trying to say, well, it's the same thing as interracial dating, you know, the prejudices and the discrimination against that. But it really isn't. If you look in the Bible, I won't get into a long discussion about that. There's nothing said in the Bible against interracial marriages. In fact, Moses was married to a black woman himself in Ethiopia. But there are some rather blunt statements
about
homosexual behavior. So, you know, it's kind of this is a real thorny thicket that the legal system's walking into, and it's going to boil down to where sexual orientation is put on the same level, plane, and par with race, that you're going to see lawsuits. And I mean, these activists are they're angry just because Obama's going to have Rick Warren do the invocation at his inauguration. I mean, they're really up in arms over it. I read them out in the paper.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is that Obama is having him do it. And I think it's a way of reaching out.
That's good. I mean, that tells me something. Maybe Obama's a little more inclusive than I thought he was.
Yeah, well, I tell you, there's, you know, we're going to give, got to give this man a chance. Hey, Tom,
well,
thanks.
I do too, but you know, it just shows you the militants that are pushing for this marriage thing for days, they're going to find every opportunity to sue the ACLUs behind them. And I think tax exempt statuses of churches that don't fall into line are eventually going to be on the chopping block.
I tell you what, Tom.
Got to take a hard break, Tom. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
We have some special guests coming up after the hard break. Carl?
Yes, we have. We have a Marine. Marines are always special, as anybody in the Armed Forces is special in this at this station. A young corporal, Daniel Cheatham, and his wife, Ashley, are here to talk to us because they're going to talk about deployments. And we've got people on the line, and don't worry, we'll get to you as soon as we get to this break. But we're going to talk about deployments, and we're going to talk about something that's happened in the Marine Corps and for about the last 2 years, which is extraordinary, something that's happened. Anyway, this is Carl Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side. And this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Okay. I talked about something has occurred in the last couple of years with the Marine Corps that's been somewhat quite extraordinary. As everybody knows, and if you don't know, you live on another planet, we've been engaged in two wars for like the last 6 years. We talk about the number of people that have to deploy, the number of deployments they've had, multiple deployments on our Marine soldiers, sailors, airmen. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 deployments for some people. Some people who've been in on other missions or in other billets haven't deployed. But one of the things that happened was is they said that the Marine Corps and the Army were going to grow. And the Marine Corps was going to grow by nearly 27,000 people. And they had they were supposed to have this done by 2012, get up to 202,000. Well, here it is, at the beginning of 2009, and we have already reached, or the Marine Corps has already reached that goal of over 200,000 people in just 2 years. Now, how do they do this? Well, part of it is they put 500 new recruiters out there. Part of it was the bonuses. Part of it is that young men and women don't want to flip burgers. They want to do something for this country, and the Marine Corps appeals to them, appeals to their patriotism and the idea of being an elite fighting unit. That's why they join. And then not only are we, I say we, is the Marine Corps recruiting all these new people, it's retaining the ones that are on active duty. That they've gone from a retention of 25% up to 35%. Okay, so what's all this mean? It means that in 2 years they did something they expected to do in 7, and that at the end of next year when they have all these people is that they're not going to be able to keep as many people. So it's going to be a little bit harder to reenlist, which is even funnier when you think about it. But our reenlistment rates have always been, they've, you know, back during when the war was at the heaviest, when the fighting was the heaviest, the casualties were at the heaviest, our reenlistment rates in a lot of these grunt units was 100%. So, anyway, but our guest today just happens to be somebody that's going to be going out in harm's way here. Corporal Dan Cheatham and his wife Ashley are here, and we're going to talk to both of them. Welcome aboard there, Corporal Cheatham.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, hey, we're proud to have you here. You know, one of the things we do is we try to put a face on our warriors. And Corporal Cheatham, Dan here and his wife are from this area, or his Ashley's from this area. Her parents are from this area.
We both are.
Uh-huh. And where did you all meet?
High school.
Oh, in high school. So Dan's from here, too, then.
Mm-hmm. We both went to Shasta.
Shasta High School. Well, you know what? There's a lot of young men.
Arianos.
The Arianos. A lot of young men went in from Shasta High School 4 or 5 years ago. So now, where have you been stationed at, Dan?
For the past 2.5 years, I've been stationed at in Bangor, Washington, at a naval base, and then just recently in March, I got restationed down in Camp Pendleton.
And so things, life has changed a little bit from Bangor, Washington, right, to Camp Pendleton?
It definitely went from hot, from cold to hot real quick.
Now, what are you going to be doing here? I mean, we can talk about this, that you're going to be leaving here in the near future.
Yes, on sometime in January, I should be leaving on a Western Pacific Mew.
A Mew is a Marine Expeditionary Unit, and it's called a Westpac, which is what you're talking about, and it consists of?
Getting on a ship and floating around the Pacific.
Okay, and it has like about five. It has like about five ships in it, and you've got a. It's a special combat team that's in this. They're task organized with aviation, with logistics and infantry, and a command element, which can go to practically any place in the world. Is that right?
So you're on call.
Basically, yes.
You're on call while you're on a ship, floating around the Western Western Pack.
Westpac, Western Pacific.
Right.
But you can also be going over to the Middle East. You can be going anywhere from there.
Yes.
I mean, that they push you to.
How long will you be gone? Do you know?
Anywhere from 6 to 12 months.
No.
6 to 12 months. It used to be 6 months, and now they've pushed it out to 6 to 12 months.
Now, if you are gone for 6 months, do you get a break? Do you get to come home and see, like, a 3-day leave where you get to see your wife?
No, nothing at all. We'll be on the ship the entire time.
Now, Ashley, since the two of you have been married, what's the longest you've been apart?
The longest consecutive was 1 month, but overall in Washington, he was gone about 2 or 3 weeks at a time, so if you add all that together, it was about 6 or 7 months.
Okay. Now, we talk about, you know, how tough it is for the wives on the deployments, and it is. You know, for the Marines, we just get up and leave, and we've got the other Marines, and we've got our mission, so things are really kind of simple for us. But the wives, it has a tendency, and the families has a tendency to be a lot harder. What kind of arrangements or what kind of things has the Marine Corps done to kind of bring you along, to help you out while your husband's gone?
Well, his platoon and his unit have a whole bunch of different meetings, and the wives and the husbands as well are able to come to those, and they give us a whole different, all these different packets and what we can do, because we are the ones staying at home dealing with our daily lives just without them. So.
Well, I understand. Well, from what I remember is you made sure you had all your banking needs done. You've got
powers of attorney.
Everything legal has been done.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes
his will's already done. Everything is done for us just in case something happens.
So you're based out of Camp Pendleton right now. And so with the wives of the Marines, the women's group, how many women have you made friends with that you could call and say, let's have a potluck, a get-together or whatever so far since you've been there?
Well, when we came down from Washington, there's about 30 of us that all came down together.
Oh, great.
And so there's our friends. Camp Pendleton's huge, but we live on base, and so I have all those friends around us. There's a few of them from Washington that live next door to us, and we have all our neighbors, so we're all military wives on the same base.
So you have, like, a support group already there.
Oh, yeah.
I guess there's, like, places you can call if there's any problems.
Mm-hmm. And I work full-time to keep my mind busy and go to school full-time to stay occupied.
You're almost ready to get your degree, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. 12 classes, and I'm done with my bachelor's.
Hey, so Danny, cool. What's your job?
I am in the infantry.
What do you do?
I am a squad leader.
Squad leader. Okay, now what's a squad leader do for our people that don't understand that?
Takes 12 to 13 people and looks after them and ensures that primarily they all come home safe and unharmed and take out any tasks that needed to be done.
If you've been assigned to. Right. So it's a leadership position that, by the way, for squad leaders in the Marine Corps are usually sergeants, and Dan is a corporal, so that's a good sign. But there's something else that's going to be happening while you're a Westpac, too, from what I understand, about raising your hand and taking another oath.
Yes, possibly. I'm at about 75% right now. That at late January or late June, maybe early July, about reenlisting.
And that'll be for
another 3 years.
Another 3 years. Well. So,
and hopefully in April he'll be getting promoted to sergeant.
There you go.
So at this point, do you feel like the military is going to be your career?
No, not yet. That's going to probably come down at the end of my second enlistment, but it's not a bad home for a career.
There's a lot worse things in life, but it's not meant for everybody. Okay, look, hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott, our guest here, our corporal and Mrs. Dan Cheatham, United States Marine Corps. And this is News Talk 1400 KQMS with Free Fire Radio. Phone lines here are 221-1402. Join us on the other side. This is Carl Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. You know what? People seem to have forgotten in all the excitement of presidential elections, because, see, it really wasn't mentioned, and the economy being on a downturn. Downturn, that's another word for being in the crapper, is that there's a war going on, people. There's still a war going on. Afghanistan is not as... it's not as far along as people had hoped at this time, even though that they had taken over Afghanistan early on. Iraq is in the final portions of that in the cleanups, even though there's, you know, there's still work to do there. But as far as the threat's gone down tremendously in Iraq. The commandant of the Marine Corps wanted to move all the Marines over to Afghanistan and start fighting there. They're going to start putting a lot more people, you know, thousands. So there's a war going on. Sometimes we forget that. And unfortunately, this war has been fought on the cheap. And unless you know somebody that's over there, or it's a member of your family, it doesn't touch you. You know, I mean, yeah, okay, there's, everybody can talk about, oh, there's billions being spent. Yeah, but, you know, there are billions being spent. But there's a war going on. So that's one of the things here, is to keep reminding people there's a war going on, and our sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers are over there fighting it. We just had 12 National Guardsmen leave to head on over to Afghanistan, be working as they're going to be clearing roads over there for mines and IEDs. They're leaving here in the next few days. Anyway, so, okay, Dan, what are some of the missions y'all can do?
Well, some of the missions that we're tasked to do is possible humanitarian work down in Africa, and help all those folks out with poverty and their pretty much well-being of life down there.
Yeah, a lot of times, which MU has the capability of bringing in a lot of resources, like for clean water, medical. They can go down and help rebuild an area. It's part of the nation building there. Anyway, what else?
Some of the other things is the farther we float along, that we could possibly do reinforcement missions in either Afghanistan or Iraq.
Another garden spot. Let's go to the phones here. Carol, good morning.
Carol?
Carol?
Yes.
You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. I want to preface my statement by telling you, too, that you're a blessing. You're just an absolute blessing. You're on the radio.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
and I hope they have sense enough to keep you.
Well, thank you, Carol.
And also, I want to thank the military.
Well, thank you, Carol.
For what they have done and what they're doing. Well, I'm 66 years old. I keep saying 67. The people in my generation appreciate our military. The younger ones are just mushheads. They haven't learned yet.
Well, you know, Carol, I can say, though, is that's not true in every case.
Not in every case.
You know what? I think that... what happened in Vietnam, how we treated our warriors there, was so bad that people learned something, and that, for the most part, that people in our nation do appreciate the warrior. They've separated the war from the warrior for a change.
I have a question.
Okay.
Do you know who the first military commander was? It was God himself.
Oh, okay.
Now, listen to me. When Joshua took the Jews across the river into the promised land, God himself told Joshua how he wanted to line up his military, because they had to take over that land. Right down to the ages of men he wanted him to use, how many, and there was 12 tribes, and he told him how to place the 12 tribes to fight the battle and win the battle. He was the first commander. I think that's awesome.
Well, you know, the fact...
wow.
Well, it is. I mean, it's... I don't know if we have anybody like that commanding today, but, you know, it's the fact is that you're right.
Oh,
you know?
He's still commanding.
And you look in the Old Testament, many times that in the Old Testament, God commanded leaders to do things there.
You bet.
Hey, Carol, thank you so much for your phone call.
He loves our military.
We all should love our military. Thank you.
Anyway, I just thank God for you.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Well, you know, one of the things, you know.
That makes me smile.
Well, you know, I noticed that at the when I was deploying going through Atlanta, that people would applaud as the uniforms were marching, you know, walking through there. People would applaud down in the airport. And that was just, gosh, the last time I was there was not that long ago. They're still doing it.
Well, we really want to thank you guys, Danny and Ashley, for your sacrifice. And you, Ashley, we know you all through our good friends, Rich and Patty Bay. And we're their dear, dear friends. And we were really blessed the other day to hear your musical expertise on harp. Do you have it? I don't know if people realize how hard harp is. And then she sang Ave Maria. She just came out, you know, it was beautiful with the Christmas lights. And here we were. We wanted to have a nice day and get to know you and bring you on the air. And thank you so much for sharing your lives with us.
You know,
thank you for having us.
Well, you know, do you think it's a sacrifice?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a sacrifice, Danny?
No, not really.
It's a sacrifice in some ways, but it's...
It's a good sacrifice.
It's a sacrifice when the families look at that, but as Danny said, is it a sacrifice?
It's just a normal job.
Just a job. However, it's a kind of a different job, and we do appreciate everything you all do. So, again, good luck. Have a great voyage, and I'm sure we'll be seeing Ashley here in the next few months if she comes on back up here. And, Danny, good luck. And you're out there. All right. Hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio and News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side.
Welcome back. It's Carla Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. 40 degrees out. It's 8:53, and the number here is 221-1402. Wow.
I like that bump music. That was good, Kelly. You know, there's some music that, you know, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, I never want to hear that again. But that's usually on Saturdays.
Ashley.
You know, we want to thank Ashley and Danny for being on the show.
Right.
And everything that they've done. Our country and everything they're going
to
do.
It is a sacrifice for a wife to have her husband gone for 8 months. Just a quick, side note that you and I met in Los Angeles. People have been asking, how did you meet? So I'll just make that try to make it quick. You know, I can hardly ever make anything quick, but I'll try. So we met at an award show in Los Angeles. You were in uniform leaving for Iraq the next day.
Yeah, I was home on leave.
We met backstage. We shook hands. We had a picture taken, and that was it. I never got your name. You never got my name. But later on, you somehow took the picture of us and contacted the producers and said, who's this woman?
Yeah, we'd been on a mission in Ramadi. Yeah, I left the next morning at 6 and was headed on back. Like 3 weeks later, met coming back out of a mission in Ramadi, which was quite exciting. And I was going through those photos that night because it was at the Golden Boots Award. And I had met Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman. You name it, they were there. And they were really nice to me. And it was a great event, and I really enjoyed it. And I just sent a picture of us to the producer and said, who's this?
They had you come up and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, and they wanted me to get... Yeah, I'm walking up there. Oh, and would you mind talking to these people? So I walk up there, and there's like 1,000 people out there with, you know, every...
Beverly Hills
yeah,
at the
every Western star you can imagine is out there. So anyway, and that's how we met, and then that's how I got your name, and that's where we started emailing each other.
And see, I was trophy girl because I give the trophies. I've been doing this award show for 12 years, and it's for the Screen Actors Guild home. And so I'm friends with the director and some other people that are on the board of directors there. And so they usually have me do the trophies because I don't sit there and go blah, blah, blah. But when Carl came up backstage with his little, you know, his fabulous uniform on, I got a little tongue-tied.
Well, anyway. And, you know, it's a funny thing is that they don't do that anymore. So it was like that year we met, and that was it. So
we corresponded for 6 months while Carl was in Iraq. and then he would call in and we'd do some special shows because I was on Kay Shasta at that time. But it was a wonderful period of time, and the letters and the correspondence. And I know it was a tough time for you, but when you came back.
We were able to meet, and then I came up here for a couple of shows and really liked the Reading area. Met the PGR guys that first time. Looked at Reading as a place to stay in the North State, and I've never looked back.
And I met you at Camp Pendleton when you first set foot back on California soil.
And it was, it was that night. We, it was really great.
So.
Yeah, it was better than I'm sounding. I'm just kind of embarrassed right here by it. Anyway, hey, look, tomorrow is the 31st of December, the last day before the beginning of the new year, and we are going to count down the top stories of 2008. The great things that happened, the bad things that happened, everything that we can think of. But we're gonna need your help, because even though we get most of everything right, we may leave out stories. Now, we're trying to hit what's going on in Reading. We're trying to hit what's going on in North State, California, but also the world. What's going on, you know, in sports, what's going on in the entertainment. And we're just going to run through, starting tomorrow morning, what's happened in 2008. And if you've got a story, if you got something you want to add to it, freefireradio.com. Freefireradio.com, just drop us a line, as many of you have, or give us a call at 530-241-2682. Tell us, hey, here's a story we'd like you to talk about, so that we can cover everything that's important to our listeners. And because we're ending up this year and then starting next year, next Monday, really. And we're going to have Senator Anastad on next Tuesday, a week from today. Is going to be on. We're going to talk about the budgets. We're going to have our assemblyman on, talk about budgets. We're going to start having our supervisors, county supervisors, talk about what's going on in our county. We're going to bring in the Anderson and the Red Bluff and the Shasta Lake mayors. We want to spread out here so we can get a little bit more of what's going on in our North State, which is the bottom line for this. And again, it's not our show. We lose control of the show as soon as you all start calling. And that's the way we like it. We're just here to provide a voice for people out there who have something to say. You know, we have our people that come in and they like what they hear from other people. They like to join in. There's a million things happening in the North State. And that's what we're here to do, is just kind of open it up and let people talk about it.
Thank you again, Ashley and Dan. And our thoughts will be with you in your deployment.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's going to be a great time. That was one of my best tours in the Marine Corps, was that deployment. We did went to a number of different places. It was a tight group of people, and so we really enjoyed it. Okay, so tomorrow we're going to count down the year on Free Fire Radio, and just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?